Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all other names. The Spirit will guide you into all truth. John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." There are many voices today. There are many different teachers calling us and saying, "Come, here is Christ." Matthew 24:23-24 says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." So we see that not everything we see can be trusted. Not everything we hear can be trusted. So what can we trust? How can we know that what we are doing, the path we are walking, is the right one? I'd like for us to look today at how God leads us in our daily lives, in our day-to-day walk, and hopefully we can all learn something as we go. Where I want to go with this eventually is I want us to look at the role of Scripture and the role of the Holy Spirit in leading us in our daily lives. This is going to be at least a two-part message. I started into this one and realized that I'm mainly getting an introduction in today. I invite you to study this as we go. Look into this. I welcome any insight that you might have to add, to give to me. I'm really learning as I go and studying this topic. The role of the Holy Spirit, and when I say versus, I don't mean against, but the role of the Holy Spirit in combination with the role of Scripture in leading us in our daily lives. First of all, I'd like for us to see that God is interested in our day-to-day lives. Psalm 139:14-18, "I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Thinking about God's thoughts towards us. "My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect," or uncomplete, "and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand." God's thoughts towards me. "When I awake, I am still with Thee." How often do my thoughts go to God and what He desires to do in my life? If He thought of me only when I thought of Him, or as often as I thought of Him, how often would I be on His mind? He says that if I could count His thoughts towards me for a day, or continually, they would be more than the sand. And when I awake, I'm still with Thee. I go to sleep and I wake up, maybe my mind's on the day ahead, the work that I have to do or whatever it might be. I am on God's mind. Jeremiah 29:11-13. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord." This is a well-known verse. The first verse, 11. Verse 11 is well known. We don't often hear 12 and 13 quoted with it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, thinking about seeking God's direction in my daily life. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Does that describe me? Again, we see that God has thoughts toward us. And that those thoughts are not just thinking about us, but planning for us. God has a plan for my life. God has a vision for my life. I have a specific calling. Each of us have a specific calling in life that God has designed. He's given us, He says that He sets the members in the church with their gifts in order to edify the body. Those of you that are members here at Calvary Chapel are not here by accident. You're here because God designed you to fit a certain role at Calvary Chapel. He has an expected end for each one of us. That is His desire. That is what He desires to do for us. Notice in verse 13 that there's also a condition or an expectation placed upon us. He tells us what our end of the deal is. We will find Him when? When we search for Him. How? Seek Him with all our heart. With all our heart. How hard do we seek after God? How determined are we to find God's specific role for me in my life? How much time do we take to seek Him and find Him and search for Him with all our heart? So we see that God is definitely interested in our lives. He didn't just set us in motion, and now He doesn't really care. He is interested. He has plans. How do I know what those plans are for me? How do I discern the Lord's will for my life? I believe this is one of the real keys to joy in the Christian life. If I can live each day knowing without a doubt that I am walking in the steps designed for me by the Lord. If I can know that I am in His will, I'm going to be much more capable of dealing with whatever comes my way. Now, I don't pretend this is easy. I don't pretend that it's always automatic for a Christian. If you don't feel this way, you're not a Christian. That's not what I'm saying at all. Going back again to seeking Him with all our heart. Walking in the center of His will. What am I, where am I at in my desire to serve Him? Finding and following God's plan for me. Again, I may be going to raise more questions than I answer. I hope that we can all learn together, including me, as we go through this. Something I think that is important is to be willing to admit you need direction and be willing to follow. You know, if I'm driving down the road and I'm lost, and I see a local guy, he's at a house, he's out raking leaves or something, so I have good reason to believe that he's from the area, knows the area, and I stop and say, you know what, I'm lost, can you tell me how to find so-and-so? And he says, well, you just go down the road here, take a left, you know, gives me directions. And I pull away saying, I don't think that's a good idea. I didn't really admit my need. I didn't really want to be told what I wanted or what to do. It doesn't do much good to ask someone directions if you're unwilling to follow them or think that you know more than they do about it in the first place. I had to think of my son Ryan is very much in this stage right now. He's 3 years old. How often have you seen a small child trying to zip his coat or put on his gloves or his boots or whatever it might be, something that's not real difficult and yet he's really struggling? And you could just so easily help him with that. You could so easily make his life better. You could do it for him if only he'd let you. And I wonder sometimes if this is how we are with God. Often Ryan will say, "No, I can do it, I can do it." And he's getting a little older, and more and more often he does get it done. But often he'll finally give up and say, "Okay," because he realizes the longer it takes him to get that coat zipped, the longer it is before he goes outside, and he's wasting valuable time in his schedule, I guess. But he finally gives up, comes to me, and I can zip that coat in, 3 or 4 seconds. Something that he might have struggled for several minutes trying to accomplish. How often are we that way with God? "No, I can do this." I often think about that with the Lord. "I've got this one, Lord." "No, don't help me. I can do it all by myself. Look how strong I am." Yesterday we were putting up a little chicken pen there at our house. We had the post pounder. It weighs, 10 pounds, 15 pounds. It's not real heavy for an adult. Well, Ryan says, "Look how strong I am." And he held it up, thinking he's really accomplishing something. How often do we look at God and say, "Look how strong I am. I can do this all by myself. I'm helping." We beat ourselves up, we worry, we fret, we struggle. We're determined to do it our way. And the whole time Jesus is looking on and saying in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Maybe you're saying, "But I want to hear from the Lord. I want His help. I am committed to Him, but I'm just not sure what He would have me to do." I'd like to give you three things or phrases to remember. I thought of it too late when I saw that, or this idea came to me. I remember Tom preached a message a number of years ago called "What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do." And I tried to find my notes on that. I don't know if I have them or not, but I couldn't even find the tablet where my notes are in from a few years ago. So the first one, Harold mentioned a couple of weeks ago. The first two are quite similar. Do what you know. The second one, I just heard someone, and I don't even know where I heard it. I think maybe it was on the radio or something. Someone asked, "What's the best advice you've ever been given?" I'm not sure where I heard it. But he said, "My dad used to always say, saw the wood that's in front of you." Don't be so worried about seeking directions 3 steps or 4 steps or 5 days or 5 weeks down the road that you forget to take steps 1 and step 2. Saw the wood that's in front of you. Sometimes we're so worried about what to do next week that we forget to take care of today. This week I'm usually pretty nice to Evan when we're working, but this week got him going a little bit. I asked him, "Does it do any good to worry?" "Nope. You can't do anything about it anyways." And I started making my point that it does help to worry, and he says it doesn't, and I said, "Statistics prove that it helps, because 90% of the things you worry about never come to pass." We can worry about how to pay the bills next week or maybe next month. And I know those things are real. I know those things are things that each one of us face from time to time. There's sicknesses. There's family relationships. There's all kinds of things. And again, I don't know that I can answer all the questions. How do we face this? What do we do? Again, I hope next time we can look a little more at discerning the Lord's will. Matthew 6, this is Jesus talking, Matthew 6, 28 through 34. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The third phrase I'd like for us to remember is never tell God no. How often am I looking for more revelation when I've been telling God no in answer to what He's already called me to do? And what He's already shown me to do. Psalm 40, verse 6 through 8. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And there in that verse 8, we have that tension. I said where I'd like for us to get to today is talking about looking at the role of Scripture and the role of the Spirit in leading in our daily lives. Verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. That sounds like he's saying, because I have the law within my heart, I am able to do your will. So there, that's referring to knowing the Scriptures. Our title verse says, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Howbeit, when He and the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. So there we have the Spirit. So we see that both are necessary and important. Both have their role. Both are used by God to guide us. When Jesus said the Spirit will guide you into truth, He also said that part of that will be bringing all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So Holy Spirit or Holy Word? Does God work today through His written Word or through the Holy Spirit? And of course, the answer to that is both. But are we relying heavily on one and largely neglecting the other? And this can happen on both ways. Again, we have that balance and that tension. Is one a part of our daily lives and the other one something that is brought into the picture only as needed? Maybe I'm really committed to reading the Scriptures. I know the Bible inside and out, but I rarely ask the Spirit to give me direction. I don't need to. I know the Scriptures. I know what He wants me to do. Maybe I have very little Bible knowledge, but I spend a lot of time praying throughout the day, trusting my feelings, trusting that inner voice. I don't need the Scriptures. The Spirit is leading me. You see where we can get tipped too far either way. And again, I want to be clear. I do not profess to be an authority and have this all figured out. Next time I'll show you. It's something that I hope to do some extensive studying on in the next couple of weeks. I would welcome your input, what you're finding, what you're seeing. I have two verses that go with this. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That sounds like God from a distance, the Spirit. I don't mean that the Spirit is distant, but God giving us direction by relationship with Him. And then 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's been fascinating for me to look into this. The balance, the tension, the way that the Spirit and the Word work together. I'd appreciate your prayers as I continue studying on this and plan to bring another message on it. In the meantime, saw the wood that's in front of you and do what you know. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You for Your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that You'd help each one of us to realize the importance of having an understanding of Scripture, a knowledge of Scripture, to invest ourselves in learning the Scriptures. But help us, Lord, also to realize the importance of simply having a living, walking, growing relationship with You. Lord, I pray that You would give each one of us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit has prepared for them who love Him. Go with us and keep us. Dismiss us with Your blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.